This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
They did everything to reach that goal, what you are saying. And we have achieved. I think maybe besides the first 5 minutes, we had control over the match. Scored beautiful goals. We don't gave so much away. So we played very well. We made a very big first step. But now we have to go to Liverpool. It's also a competitor of ours.
Thanks for your time. Well done today.
Thank you.
Life's a pitch on BFM 89.9.
That was apparently a happy Louis van Gaal speaking after his side's 3-0 win. It's Life Pitch. I'm Ezra Zayn sitting in for Ross Youssef. And, of course, joining me in the studio is Stuart Cavins.
Hello, Ezra.
Hello, sir. Craig Marais.
Hello, hello.
And Cam Raslan.
This is Ezra FM or something.
It's hour three right now, so we're going to have to relook at that contract. Folks, you can follow us at BFM Radio on Twitter. Text us at 0162019000. Of course, you can also follow us on Facebook. That's Football on BFM. We're going to speak about that first game last night. Manchester United 3, Tottenham 0. Impressive display or just, you know.
By far and away the best Man United have played under Van Gaal. They just get everything right. He played the back four. He played Blind as a left back, which made a huge difference. They totally dominated the left side of midfield. Carrick was probably the best player on the pitch. And Fellaini played the way we know Fellaini can play and the reason that Moyes bought him in the first place.
What a response after being knocked out of the FA Cup by Arsenal.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what Louis van Gaal was looking for, a response. We go back to that match last week, and I don't think United played all that bad. I don't think they were awful. It was just a silly mistake at the back, and, you know, good teams punish you. But like Stuart said, you know, they got everything correct on the day. I think the formation they set out with was right. The personnel that they selected was right. And like Stuart said, you know, Michael Carrick was by far the best player on the park. He made things happen in that midfield. They won the midfield battle. That was the key. And Ashley Young, throughout the whole 90 minutes, was a constant threat on the left-hand side of midfield. You know, Kyle Walker had an absolute nightmare. And, you know, when you give United that space and you allow them to attack you, you know, they'll do that. And it was good to see Wan-Mata back as well. I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, and didn't you think it's the best Rooney's played for a long time? And surprise, he's played as a striker, you know?
Yeah.
And is Van Gaal lucky that Di Maria was suspended and suddenly we get the best performance?
And that Van Persie's not available as well. I think that they should play that Rooney fella as a striker. Yeah. I think rebrand him or whatever.
Well, I think it was never any question about where his best position was. But Rooney's just a natural footballer, isn't he? And he'll play well for you at left back, right back as well if you need to be.
But why would you play him at left back and right back? Why would you play him as a midfielder?
Hold on. Let me get there first.
You're supposedly one of the best managers in the world. Why do you decide to play the striker as a midfielder?
It came to a point during the season where, you know, United were struggling a little bit light in the midfield area, and he opted to drop Rooney a little bit deeper, and he had Wilson, he had Van Persie, Falcao, they were all available. Fellaini as well, he played as a target man, and that's the switch he made. Obviously, I wouldn't say it didn't work because United Rooney, when he played in that midfield position, he was still one of United's best players. So you can't say it was a bad choice.
I can't say it was a terrible choice.
I think it was United's best performance since the Fergie days. But
wouldn't go that far.
But we have to. I think you have to say though, as Fergie once said, "Lads, it's Tottenham." This really was Tottenham at their Tottenhamness.
But it was. It's a decent Tottenham side. I mean,
previously, like the last week, yeah. But they turned up, and yeah. Tottenham have a lot of different types of kryptonite.
Yeah,
and United
true.
Is one of them.
Of course,
United at Old Trafford.
Roy Hodgson was in the stands hoping to see something from Harry Kane, yeah. And apparently Chris Smalling is the defender.
It's Chris Smalling and Phil Jones,
yeah.
Kept Harry Kane quiet.
Phil Jones almost scored an own goal.
It wasn't about that, though. It was about midfield, exactly as Craig said. It was about United dominating midfield, Spurs not being able to catch up with it, Mason having a poor game because, you know, he's very good going forward. He does the more obvious things, but he doesn't have a very good positional sense. They lost midfield and, you know, without slagging off Spurs too much because Matt's not here, so there's no point. United were very, very good. You know, I much prefer to give the other teams credit. The teams that play well, we're better to give them credit. We've bashed United all season, and fair.
You're
fair
so generous.
Play. I think United were good, but I think Spurs didn't help themselves. I think if you look defensively at the goals. I think from a Spurs point of view, they were all very poor goals to concede. You look at Fellaini and, Fellaini's goal, the opening goal. I mean, it's fantastic. It was a fantastic pass by Carrick. But the whole way, I mean, you look at the space between the fullback and the centre-back, I think it was Eric Dier and Kyle Walker. It's just too big. You can't leave those kind of gaps, and good teams will exploit you. I think United punished Spurs in a way, you know. For the second goal, I actually thought initially when the corner came in, I thought Fellaini was all over Dier. You know, I thought it was a foul. Referees tend to give everything these days, but it wasn't. But I think Spurs were victims of their own mistakes. You know, I think they really put themselves under a lot of pressure with that. I think defensively they had a poor game, and you know, as I said, I think in midfield is where United won the game. You know, your Carricks, your Herreras, your Matas, your Youngs.
But we're speaking about, I guess, this midfield portion of Manchester United's play. There was an interview after the final whistle, and I think the reporter asked, there was a lot more pace to tonight's game, and Van Gaal's face kind of twitched, because I think that's probably the word that irks him the most, that his side doesn't have pace. And what was different about last night?
I thought it was more to do with control. Carrick controlling the midfield, Fellaini playing there, controlling, you know, playing behind the striker effectively and controlling there. I think much more that than
it seemed to be also just players playing in their correct positions. It seemed to be quite a simple thing.
It'll never catch on.
No, because I mean, Ashley Young had a good game.
Well, he's been playing pretty well all season.
Yeah, he's been one of the most consistent performers for United, surprisingly. You go back to that and you talk about this pace. You look at it and it was the only outlet of pace that we had was pretty much Ashley Young on the left.
United. Objective United. Team, bit of professionalism around here.
obviously, on the right-hand side, we didn't see as much. I would have liked to see Valencia get involved a little bit more down that right-hand side. I don't think we tested. Every time we attacked, United went through the left-hand side, which is good because it was working. You know, Kyle Walker, as quick as he is, we know he's a bit suspect when it comes to defending. And United definitely exploited that. I thought Daley Blind as well had a fantastic game at left-back, you know, supported. A lot of people say he can't play that role because he's not quick enough. But every time United had the ball and were attacking, he was up there supporting Ashley Young. So it was really good to see from United. And like I said, you know, it all goes back to the getting formation right on the day. And I think in the past, this season, you know, when United have attacked, they haven't seemed like they had a purpose. They didn't know what they're doing in the final third. You know, when you have your star names, you know, your Di Marias and all that on the pitch, Van Persie's, your Falcao's, they attacked, but they have a lot of possession, but they don't necessarily do a lot with the possession. I think in this game, it all came together, it clicked. But like I said, you know, like Van Gaal said, you know, it's the beginning of the rat race. Mm. They need to keep this up because they've got a hell of a run in.
Enough Manchester United.
And what do we make of Pochettino's side, considering, I mean, it puts a bit of a dent for the chase for the top four spot.
Oh, the way you said that.
Well, it's a slight dent. It's not a huge dent.
It's the end of their season, really.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. The cup final last week was probably the end of the season. We don't realistically expect them to get fourth.
No way.
Yeah. The interesting thing now is, will they try and lose games so they don't end up in the Europa League?
Aren't they stitched with that with the... because they finish runners-up in the Capital One
work?
Cup.
How does that work?
Chelsea are not going to take that.
Yeah, but not runners-up, I don't think. Oh, we should know that since...
Yeah. Well, that's a space there, isn't it? Surely.
Ross would know that. Where's Ross?
Where's Ross when you need him? We've got a lot more games to cover, but folks, we have a contest, specifically four tickets to give away to the VIP reception for the Football is Great exhibition. Will be held at Avenue K. There's the official opening and press conference on Thursday morning, after which the exhibition will be open to the public. It includes the Barclays Premier League trophy and the Treasures exhibition by the National Football Museum UK. The trophy will be there until Sunday for the public date photos, and the museum will continue for 6 weeks. So, right here on Life's a Pitch, we're offering a VIP opportunity to get your photo taken with the trophy on Thursday evening, that's the 19th, and a guided tour of the museum, as well as a good British food and drink. So I don't know why I stumbled that one. For two winners who can bring a guess with them, some of the BFM football boys will also be there, so you can put a face to the voice jokes.
Instead of just getting their picture taken with the trophy, they might get their picture taken with me.
That's right.
If they're lucky.
Yeah. Ezra, just out of curiosity, what's a good British drink that they're serving?
And with no details thus far, okay, unfortunately. Right, okay. And so, folks,
tea.
Okay. Here's the contest right here. We've got a question for you. Which player has received the most yellow cards for simulation in the BPL over the last two seasons?
I know this.
Hang on, Cam. Which player has received the most yellow cards for simulation in the BPL over the last two seasons? We are looking for the first two correct answers on our Facebook page, Football on BFM. Please include your email so we can contact you. Of course, we'll be announcing the winner just before the end of the show. I've got more football coming up right after this. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Robbie Fowler. Join us for more on Life's a Pitch right after this.
Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan. This is Life's a Pitch.
And I'm Ezra Zayed. Joining me is Stuart, Craig and Cam. We're going to move on with more matches that took place this past weekend. Chelsea 1, Swansea 1. What a fascinating game, end-to-end stuff.
Southampton, dude.
Yeah, why does it say Swansea here?
Right, I have no idea.
Ross wouldn't make that mistake.
Never, yeah. But Southampton did do well, didn't they?
Swansea will find out later tonight, but you know, unless you know something that we don't.
It was probably the best match of the weekend, actually.
It was
great fun. And Chelsea, is this a club in crisis?
I think crisis is a little bit too harsh, but no, credit to Southampton, you know. I think after Costa got that goal, it looked like it was going to be, well, I wouldn't say one-way traffic, but it looked like Chelsea were getting their, or stamped their authority on the game, were going to take the game to Southampton and get that second goal. And if they did, you know, it would have been match over. But credit to Southampton, I think they came after that goal. They came into it a lot more. You know, a lot of teams that go to Stamford Bridge after that first goal gets conceded, because you do so well. And after that, if you get an early goal, especially going against you, then, you know, teams tend to crumble. But credit to Southampton. And that's been the story of this season. You know, they've been a hard team to play against. Like most teams, they go through that blip. And they went through that. And this is how they come out on the other end. They're still up there. They're still competing for a Champions League spot. They probably won't get it. But, you know, they've done well to be in contention at this stage of the season. Credit to Koeman. I think he's done such a fantastic job there.
Mm, best defence in the league. I mean, that's really...
Well, it was the battle of the two best defences, wasn't it, on yesterday?
But Chelsea looked rather... Well, they looked tired, lethargic. Yeah. Fabregas looked half a beat off the pace all the time.
Even Matic.
You say that, but they responded pretty well in the second half to try and win the game.
Yeah.
They weren't parking the bus.
No, I don't think it was tiredness. I think
it was lethargic. It was a good game.
It was a good game between two good teams. Mm-hmm. Mourinho said after the game, we shouldn't be drawn at home to Southampton. But this is a very, very good Southampton team. It was a good game. Either team could have won it. I think draw was a very fair result. I'm not having a tiredness thing either. I know everybody's talking about, they play the same team every week, but look how they finished the game.
I kind of agree with Cam.
Thank you.
Because I think, I don't think the whole team was lethargic. I think there were certain players, like you said, Fabregas looked off the pace, Matic looked off the pace, Hazard had his moments, drifted in and out of the game, didn't he? You know,
I feel like they're really asking a lot of Hazard.
Well, he plays he plays every single game,
and he has to bring the magic, which is really hard. You know?
Yeah, to keep that kind of level of performance every single game is always going to be a tough ask for anyone.
What's fascinating is that after the game, Mourinho gets his usual defensive self and keeps talking about the penalty and how Sky Sports is adamant that it was or it wasn't, and it's this whole debate again. But whether is it legitimate or is it just sour grapes?
The Ivanovic.
No, the Matic one, right? Matic challenge.
They both were penalties.
I'm not so sure. I think Matic got the ball.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you get the ball nowadays. If you go through the back of a player...
I don't think he went through the back of the player either.
Well, if you go through the side of a player, it's still a free kick.
I disagree. I don't think it was a penalty.
Definitely penalty.
But I think if you look at where the referee's standing from his point of view, and if you see it in real time, I think, it definitely looks like a penalty. But I think we've obviously got the benefit of replays. That is definitely not a penalty.
You can't take somebody out when you tackle them. No, that's not allowed anymore.
But if that would happen outside the box,
it would have been a foul.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he would have given it.
But this is not the beginning of any sort of slide for Mourinho's side. I mean, they're 5 points clear.
Cam just said, is this club in crisis? Well, I tell you what, every other team in the league would like to be in this kind of crisis.
Yeah.
Because they're walking towards the league title.
League title, but out of the Champions League. I think that's...
That's the main one.
And I was watching it, I think it's a really great match. Premier League's great fun and everything. But this Chelsea, this is not one of the top teams in Europe. They're not.
I disagree. I think they played a very well-organised PSG side, if you refer to the Champions League, obviously. Mm. A very good PSG side. I think they had their chance to win it. You know, they've gone out on the away goals rule, which, you know, is always one of those rules. But
it must be a disappointment to the players, and they know that if they...
No doubt.
They don't have to win every single match. They can get away with a few draws. You know, maybe it is going to be a bit difficult to get them all cheered up.
If there's one manager that won't allow them to do that, it's Mourinho. Mourinho's about motivation. There's no way he'd allow his players to take the foot off the gas if they're 6 points behind. Look at them. I mean, if they do that, look at the momentum Arsenal have. Arsenal may catch them
then it will get excited.
I don't think
we'll get to the discussion of Arsenal as title.
I think if we look at Chelsea, you know, I don't think there's anything stopping them, especially with City dropping points as well. They'll win the Premier League. I think the gap is just too big. Don't forget they've got a game in hand as well.
Two games, I think.
No, one.
Just
game.
One.
Yeah, one game in hand, and you know it'll be impossible. Yeah. Impossible for a team to catch them.
Yeah.
And speaking of dropping points, biggest upset of the weekend, Burnley 1, Man City 0.
Brilliant.
That's not supposed to happen, but it happened.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I often say, I don't believe that this is the best league in the world, but you have to say things like that happen and make it
more often than not
entertaining,
in this league,
most entertaining game in the league in the world. And Burnley, again, well worth it. Got their tactics spot on, absolutely spot on, allowed City no space whatsoever, and still managed to sneak up and score a goal.
Yeah, I just thought it was poor from City from an attacking point of view. I think
again,
they really
credit to Burnley though.
We'll get to them. Hold on. You did your Burnley bit. Now let me do the City bit. I thought it was poor from. I think if City when they go back and analyse the game, I think they'll be very disappointed in the final third. First of all, they should have had a penalty anyway. I thought the foul on Zabaleta in the penalty area, he got booked for simulation, I think. I thought it was just a ridiculous decision. It really was. But saying that, Aguero had his chances, Dzeko had his chances, Boney had a couple. There were chances there. It's not that City didn't create anything, you know, they did. But credit to Burnley. You know, they came with a plan. Defensively, they did look good when they had to be. You know, Tom Heaton in goal. I thought Trippier had a good game at right back. And, you know, in George Boyd, they've got a guy who he pops up. He always pops up with a goal.
It's a great goal as well.
Yeah, he scored against City earlier this season as well. He did it again. And what a strike. I mean, if you talk about technique and everything, I know he's a left-footed player, but still to have that kind of technique with the ball dropping down, keeping it nice and low right into the corner, absolutely top-notch. And after that, it's, you know what's going to happen. You know, City are still going to throw bodies at you. They're going to create chances, but that defence held firm. But you know, Sean Dyche really, really deserves a lot of credit this season.
I am virtually certain I did watch that match, but I have absolutely no recollection. I think because it's City. They don't imprint on my memory at all.
What
City.
You can remember is Dzeko just not scoring, and he should be scoring. And Aguero running around thinking, not sure I'm going to be here next year. If this team continues to regress like it does, you've got to wonder, why would Aguero be there? You know, one of the best strikers in the world. You go, you're not getting anywhere in the Champions League, assuming they don't beat Barcelona. You win the league 1 year, then you immediately get worse. You sign the wrong players. If I was Aguero, I'd be thinking...
I get the impression, watching City, of a sense of disappointment amongst all the players. It's just like a feeling of disappointment.
I mean, talk about performances and all that. I thought if you're looking at one poor performance in that, Yaya Toure. I mean, he just looked really off the pace. Since he's come back from the African Cup of Nations, he hasn't really offered anything for Man City. And I'm not sure if he's...
Which he won. Job done for the week.
Well, yeah, for the year, right?
Yeah. Go home.
Yeah. I don't know if Pellegrini has kind of held him back a little bit in terms of his position. He doesn't seem to get forward as much as we know. I mean, I remember that Yaya Toure from a season ago, two seasons ago. You know, he used to always be getting into the box, right place, right time. He'd be there. I haven't seen that from him this season. Not as much as I'd like to. And we knew he had a... He had a tough start after the World Cup. He went through that purple patch where he was scoring goals, and then he went off to the African Cup of Nations. He's come back, still hasn't looked the part. So I'd be looking at his future.
Yeah. But well done, Burnley. Yep. Much deserved.
And Burnley still in the bottom three, though, but this must be a huge result if they were going to survive the Premier League.
Massive result. And the way Sunderland are going, you know, Sunderland are just above them. The way Sunderland are going, they look a certainty to be relegated. So there is a spot for Burnley to get out, and they look like they've got the right stuff about them. You know, Leicester don't. Yeah. They've got an imploding manager. QPR
with a very interesting press conference recently. Exactly,
well, at least he didn't hit anybody for a change. QPR aren't looking too good. So Burnley have got a chance. If they play like this,
they will.
They've got a really tough run of games coming up now.
From now to the end of the season, it's their home form that's going to keep them up. If they can keep getting points at home like this, you know, they'll be okay.
Arsenal defeated West Ham 3-0. A very convincing win considering what's coming up in the Champions League. But, title contenders, and Arsene Wenger is very coy about having the discussion with the media. What do we think?
They're not really title contenders.
No, I seriously doubt.
But fair play to them. They've been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And epitomised by Giroud. Giroud's been fantastic. Then he had the shocker against Monaco in the first leg. Mm. He bounced back immediately with goals. He's still scoring goals. He's scoring great goals. And he's epitomising this Arsenal team. Normally you would say the examples of the Arsenal team would be the little midfielders. But this year, it's Giroud. Giroud's been fantastic.
Yeah. Great performance. I think their best performance of the season, I thought, was excellent.
Yeah, I thought, you look at all three goals that they scored, absolutely fantastic. Mm. And this is the Arsenal that we know of years ago, you know, that passing, that movement. All three goals were top quality. Mm. I know Matty Phillips scored an absolute screamer for QPR this weekend. If he didn't score that, you know, I think we'd be looking at the three Arsenal goals and saying, you know, those were the best of the weekend. But yeah, you got this Arsenal team who've gone on a run now. That confidence, that good feelings coming back to the team. They're definitely not title contenders, as I said earlier on. I think it's Chelsea
second,
to lose.
Second,
yeah, second.
Maybe?
I was just going to say they can definitely get second place. With City falling off the pace a lot, the dropping points. Arsenal on this form, I think, you know, they can definitely get second place. And you got to give Arsene Wenger credit. You know, he's come under a lot of criticism earlier on the season from his fans, from us, from all the pundits.
Not from me.
Everyone.
In Arsenal.
Maybe not everyone, but the vast majority of them, especially the fans. The fans started getting on his back. How he's responded, how the team have responded, rather, you know, with their performances in 2015 especially. You know, it's been great. They now go to Monaco in midweek, and they're going to go there with a lot of confidence, you know. And
okay, good luck to them.
We're going to be quickly talking about Swansea versus Liverpool. That was
Swansea again.
There you go.
Just before we do, and I do this to Ross as well, that's so it's not just
not
you,
a problem.
A quick word about West Ham. West Ham were really good in this game.
Yeah, they were
beaten
3-0,
but they were also really good in this game. And a bit like the Chelsea Southampton game, this was a really, really good game. Really good, high quality between two quality teams.
And Sam Allardyce, he may not be the nicest guy in the world, and his attitude.
Nicest guy? How do you know that?
Well, this is just the word, but he is a very good manager.
Yeah.
He really
loves us, Big Sam.
Just quickly, West Ham were very much in this match until that first goal. It was all about the first goal, and they just, you know, they just went away after that. You know, they blowed away, and Arsenal came on to
it. I'd like to stand up for Big Sam being a nice guy.
Yeah.
During the news, you can have a word.
Very quickly, gents, Swansea versus Liverpool Tuesday, of course, tomorrow, 4 a.m. What do you feel about, because Gerrard's been injured and Rodgers come out about not being sentimental, about bringing him back in.
Finally, about time. They should have done this a year ago. They're a much better team without him. It's that simple. And why would you play him? Okay, play him if you need him for injuries and stuff. Have him as your talisman, run sitting about the dressing rooms, Beacon and Scouse.
Save the FA Cup.
I think Liverpool are like Arsenal. They're on a great run now. There's no need to change the team. Leave Gerrard on the bench, bring him for the last 10 minutes or something like that.
Right. Yep. All right. So we've got more football coming up right after this, looking at Serie A and La Liga. Stay tuned to Life's a Pitch right here on BFM 89.9.
Hi, I'm Gary Neville. Life's a Pitch.
Life's a Pitch on BFM 89.9.
And we're continuing on the second half of this show. In the studio with us is Stuart Cavins, Craig Marias, and Cam Reslin. I'm Israel Zaid, sitting in for Ross Youssef. You can tweet us at BFM Radio Texas at 016-201-9000. Also follow us on Facebook for football on BFM. And now in the second half of the show, we'll be looking at other European leagues and preview the UEFA Champions League. But first, it's time for winners and losers of the weekend.
This week's winners and losers.
Monday's main man is none other than George Boyd. His wonder strike on the weekend made him the first player to score in two league games against Manchester City this season. And what a goal it was. So for downing the champions and giving Burnley a massive lift, we say congratulations, George Boyd. You are Monday's main man. Honourable mentions go to Olivier Giroud, a stunning display from the Frenchman, Michael Carrick, often one of the unsung heroes of Old Trafford. Tim Sherwood, you have to give it to him, Villa's fortunes have completely turned around under his stewardship. Brown Idey, branded a flop earlier in the season, but the Nigerian's goals have helped fire the baggies towards safety. Romelu Lukaku, that's much more like it from the big Belgian. Yannick Bolasie, when he's good, he's golden. Sadio Mane, always looks a threat. And finally, Matty Phillips, just for that goal alone, because it's beautiful. Monday's loser is none other than Gustavo Poye. The Uruguayan has sadly got to take the blame for the Black Cat's miserable showing against Aston Villa. They look completely bereft of confidence and have a lack of ideas, to say the least. So for getting stuffed at home by lowly Aston Villa, we say sorry, Gustavo Poye, but you are Monday's absolute muppet. Dishonourable mentions go to Nikita Jelovic, guilty of an appalling first half miss. Will it come back to haunt the Tigers? Fabrizio Colaccini, the skipper's let his team down badly with a ridiculous red card. Ryan Mason has been a big breath of fresh air for Spurs this season, but he took several steps backwards at Old Trafford. Manuel Pellegrini, oh dear, City are in real trouble and the Chilean will be lucky to keep his job at this stage. Kevin Nolan would struggle to get in a pub team based on that performance. Charlie Adam, see Kevin Nolan. Nemanja Matic was lucky not to get sent off, he's had better days. And finally, Sean Wright Phillips. Such a dramatic fall from grace from the once scintillating wide man.
Well, thanks to producer Andy Whitelaw, winners and losers.
One day he's going to meet Kevin Nolan and he's going to have to answer.
There's only one winner in that competition. Yeah. I tell you who would be that week's Muppet. Wouldn't be Kevin Nolan.
But a huge mention regarding Aston Villa's 4-0 win, Tim Sherwood.
There's only one man of the week, or whatever it's called.
Winners and losers.
I get it wrong every week. It's got to be one. It's got to be Tim Sherwood. He's taken his team, won 4-0 away from home against a relegation rival. It's got to be
four goals in the first half as well.
Monday's absolute brilliant guy.
It's two strikers who haven't been fantastic this season, haven't been scoring goals. What the two wins, both against West Brom, actually, over the last couple of weeks have done is given that team confidence. And you look at the style of play they're playing right now, you know. The pacey wingers that they had, the pace that they had, you know, the quality that they had, it's starting to show now. Zogbia is getting games. You know, he didn't really get many under Lambert, but now he's playing and he's giving them a new outlet. Agbonlahor, you know, I'm not going to say he's fantastic, but he's using his the only weapon he has, and that's his pace, you know, and that causes defences problems.
And introduced at the end of the match, a 16-year-old striker.
Yeah.
Local boy, Tim Sherwood-Iola.
Well, he's always liked giving youth a chance.
I think that's what they're calling him.
He's got a knack of bringing on young kids in football matches. So he's, I mean, that your Harry Kane's, your Bentalebs.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? They're going to stay up this year, and everybody's going to go, oh, he's done well, and he's going to spend a bit of money, and then next year they're going to be 17th again.
Yeah, I think he's good for a short term fix. But if you're telling me long term for Aston Villa, I'm not so sure. I don't think he's a fantastic manager. He's a good man manager, I'd say, probably. Tactically, I still don't think he's fantastic. He's good enough for this level. But we'll see, you know. I think at the moment, all Villa need to do is just stay up in the Premier League. And
if Matt Bellotti is listening to this, he's probably screaming at the radio now. Tim Sherwood.
Might have done a better job at Old Trafford. Yeah.
But, you know, Villa and Sunderland, they're similar teams. They're just what? Who would want to be their manager?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's like a poison chalice. Sunderland even more so.
Sunderland, I was just going to say.
Two big clubs, though.
I mean, what's going to happen with Gus Poyet now? I mean, they're seriously going to look at him. I mean, the fans were left at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, there were fans that were chucking it in after three goals went in. Yeah. That was 30-something minutes.
Yeah, but to be fair, though, I'm really disappointing when fans leave. But Arsenal fans, who'd just been treated to one of the best displays, they'd won 3-0. Arsenal fans had all left way before the end of time as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a Sunderland fan, I could understand. They lost 8-0 earlier on in the season.
And it was looking like going that way again.
Yeah. I think that was against Southampton. 4-0 against your relegation rivals. I mean, it's just not on, is it? In 45 minutes, by the way.
But, you know, they're going to sack Poyet. It looks like today they're going to sack
By the end of this programme,
By the end of the programme, perhaps. And bring in whoever Advocat was just mentioned in the news. That would be a bit of a strange one. But how many managers have gone there thinking, oh, this is a sleeping giant. We're going to be able to do something with Sunderland. And not done anything with them.
Yeah.
It's a poison chalice of a club.
Mm. We're going to move forward to Ligue 1 in France. Monaco warmed up for their UEFA Champions League clash with Arsenal, coasting to a 3-0 victory over 9-man Bastia. That was on Friday. Zlatan Ibrahimovic not feeling very happy, but very chatty. Of course, you know, losing Paris Saint-Germain, losing 3-2 to the hands of Bordeaux as well.
Yeah, he came out with a fantastic post-match press conference post-match interview, rather, after the Chelsea match, calling all the Chelsea players babies. I mean, that was great. But I mean, this one, he took it to a whole new level, didn't he? He started criticising the country, the French people, everything. So but he did come out later and apologise for that. And you know, things happen at the heat of the moment. But basically what it was, he just wasn't happy with the refereeing decisions that didn't go PSG's way.
He did one of these classic modern apologies that aren't in any way meant.
Right.
He said, I apologise if what I said offended anyone. apologise. He said,
a disclaimer of the apology, yeah.
I apologise if anybody was offended. As if it was the people who were offended that got it. It was their fault.
And that's clearly from his agent that asked him to be fair,
they were French, so he's probably right.
Not to offend anyone.
Looking very quickly at Monaco, they're looking in good form before this match against Arsenal. Is it mission impossible, or is it going to be quite straightforward? Their home record is terrific.
I think it'll be a fantastic match, this one. Yeah. I called this a few weeks ago, and I said Arsenal were to go through. And
still,
this guy on my left started laughing at me.
You still think so?
I still think they will. I think Arsenal, as well as Monaco are playing, I think Arsenal can go there. If they continue this form, they can go there with the attacking qualities that they have. I think they can go there and get
With the away goals and all that kind of thing. If Arsenal are 2-0 up, does that mean they're through?
Yep.
Okay.
They're sorted.
But it's not often you see teams win against other reasonably big teams 2-0 away from home.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they can do it, but they'll definitely give it a good goal. If they play like they've been playing, they'll give it a good goal, because Monaco aren't very good.
If they concede a goal at the beginning, it could be not good.
Yeah, then they'll have to go crazy, gung-ho attack, and they can be picked off.
You know, and then they might go crazy, somebody might get sent off, like a Jens Lehmann.
Well, he can't get sent off. He hasn't played for them for 10 years.
You know what I mean?
All right, and looking to Syria, you have Alvaro Morata stepping off the bench, securing an off-form Juventus side, a hard-earned 1-0 win against Palermo. And of course, other results include, just regular Italian stuff, really. Yeah. It's just one-way street, isn't it?
It's just Juve there, isn't it?
Oh, sorry if anybody's offended.
16 points clear.
Yeah.
14 points clear.
No, it's 14 points clear, so. I mean, we've talked about this before, you know, the Serie A. It's just Juve over the last few years. It's just Juve, and everyone else is a very distant. You know, they're playing in their own league, basically.
And so the focus.
But I think it moves on to the Champions League, where they play Dortmund later this week, and that's the big one for them. You know, Juventus, we've spoken about. You know, they've always done well domestically in Europe. I think since the days of, you know, your Del Pieros, your Inzaghi's, and Zidane's. You know, they haven't really, you know, made a mark in Europe Is it that time where they will? I still don't think so. I think they're still a little bit behind.
The Italians.
Yeah.
They're doing very well in Europa League. Consistently do very well in Europa League.
Because no one really plays for
But by doing well in Europa League, they actually boost the coefficient, as it were. And they could push themselves back up to 4 Champions League spots by doing Europa League.
I'm not sure they do well in the Europa League. Spain, it's one dominated by the Spanish teams always.
Well, I don't know. This time they seem to be doing pretty well.
But do Dortmund have a chance?
They do well. They pick up points.
I'm back in Dortmund for this. I think Dortmund, you say what you want about them domestically, but in Europe they've always managed to get their results, and now they're playing at home in the second leg. Mm. I think they've got a very good chance of going through.
And they've turned it around. They turned around their league form, really. And
yeah, drew over the weekend, though. It wasn't great.
It's better than they were doing the first. And they got their away goal. That away goal makes a big difference in that tie. And I think you're probably right, Dort. That's a huge... When you think about that team way down the bottom of the Bundesliga versus the runaway leaders of Serie A, if Dortmund do beat them, what does that tell you about Serie A?
Yep.
All right, we've got more La Liga and Champions League coming up right after this. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Hi, it's Paul Parker, Life's a Pitch.
Hi, I'm Des Cockhill from Astro Arena. Life's a Pitch.
And we're back in the studio with Stuart Cavins, Craig Marias and Cam Razlan. We're going to be focusing now towards La Liga. Everything from, Gareth Bale's celebration to Barcelona momentarily moving 4 points clear of Real.
Well, Gareth Bale's double. Don't forget, he scored 2 goals. I don't think he knew too much about the second goal. but it's fantastic. You know, he's come under a lot of criticism, not only from the fans, from the press. They haven't been happy with him since the early part of the season for some reason. They forget what he did last year. I thought he had a fantastic debut season last year for Real Madrid. It's hard to live up to that every year in unless you're Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi. But he got his 2 goals, responded to the critics, and looks like Real Madrid are back to winning ways.
What was his celebration? I didn't see that.
Well, he just covered his ears and kicked the corner flag.
Pretty big ears. Although, speaking of celebrations, I forgot to mention this earlier. My favourite celebration by a mile of the weekend and probably of the season now was Wayne Rooney's. Absolutely brilliant. If you haven't seen that, everybody, look out the YouTube clip of him first getting knocked out by Phil Bardsley. That was fantastic. and then taking the Michael out of it at the weekend. Brilliant.
And Barcelona are looking pretty decent, very comfortable 2-0 win. Messi looks like he's back to his old self.
He did this amazing run at one point, ghosting past like 5 players, the length of the pitch. It didn't end up in a goal. He passed it across and no one scored. But it's just remarkable.
Yeah. But, you're looking at the La Liga table, and if we have a finish like we did last season, it'll be absolutely amazing. You know, between those 3 teams, Valencia's still thereabouts as well. If we have a finish like that, a three-way finish, like going to the last game of the season or whatever it is, I think it'll be really good.
It's only a few points separate, and of course El Clasico is not too far as well.
Next week. It's on a Monday as well, isn't it? Monday morning? I believe.
We'll get more of that very, very shortly. But of course, Barcelona, they'll be facing Manchester City. This is probably the best time to face Man City. Finish the job, really.
I actually predicted, 2 weeks ago, I said that City would go through there. But, seeing how they've played recently, I might have to come back on my words there and change that. You know, you look at the first leg, and I think City really let themselves down. They didn't really turn up for the match. I think Barcelona played well. I don't think they were fantastic. City are still very much in this tie. Don't get me wrong. They are very much in this tie.
No.
They have it in them to go there and get the goals to knock Barcelona out. Whether they do it or not is a different thing.
The away goal's not enough.
Barcelona's 2 away goals? They are probably enough. yes. City, no chance. None whatsoever. If you can't go to Burnley and win, you're not going to go to the Nou Camp and overturn a 2-1 home defeat.
I mean, you're talking about 2 goals to go there, get 2 goals. I think the difference would be between the 2 sides is Burnley, obviously, they're very disciplined when they defend.
Yeah, that's the only
back. I think when they play Barcelona, there's going to be a lot more spaces. And I think he's going to play Nasri in this game as well.
That'll have Messi, Suarez, and Neymar
Quick. Anyway, going back to it, I think there's definitely an opening there for City. I think if they get the tactics right on the day, Pellegrini gets it right on the day, I think they could do some.
So
they could get the two goals.
Come on, seriously. Madness. Seriously, go on, say it, Craig. Yes or no? Come on.
I'm going to go yes. Really? Yeah. Arsenal to go through and City's. Arsenal won's a tough order. They got to score three away goals.
Really?
But
no, City are going to have to score three because you know Barcelona are going to score. Of course, Barcelona are going to score.
I think it's ever City. I'm going to back the English teams on this one.
Craig, I think your predictions are swayed after a 3-0 home win. I mean, this is what happens. This is what happens. You're a happy person.
Just for the record, last week I did say that Arsenal would beat United in the FA Cup and that PSG would knock out Chelsea.
You can't just tell us so there you go. Ones you got right.
I made two predictions and they were
you
right.
You said Shakhtar would have a chance against Bayern Munich. They got beaten 7-0. You did. Listen to the podcast.
Didn't you say that Chelsea had absolutely...
I did. I admit the ones I get wrong. Yeah. And I can tell you, Barcelona will hammer City.
Oof. Hammer. All right.
There we go. Yeah. It's on.
We're moving on to Germany. Pep Guardiola is a very, very happy man. A 4-0 win against Werder Bremen. Of course, only a 14-point lead on the top of Bundesliga. And of course, I guess it's just Champions League focus, really, isn't it?
11 points.
11 points.
That's all they have to do, you know, just concentrate on the Champions League now. The league's wrapped up for them. Can they do it in the Champions League? I think they'll go all the way. I mean, that emphatic win last week. They've got enough in them to do it. I mean, it's one of those teams where I can't see a weakness at the moment, you know?
Absolutely. The front three is just phenomenal. Even the players they bring on off the bench is phenomenal. Real Madrid are in a poor form. Barcelona are definitely beatable, not by City, but they're definitely beatable. So I think, Bayern... definitely look the best team in Europe to me. It'll depend on the draw, of course, and when these teams play each other, it can depend on dodgy refereeing decisions and things like that, but they definitely look the best.
I mean, the thing is, if you can win your Champions League match 7-0, I mean, against a decent side, I mean, Shakhtar aren't a rubbish side or anything, they're a decent side. Yep. To win it that emphatically, you've got to, I mean, that surely puts you up there as the favourites for the competition.
And they guarantee a good game.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not boring, is it? Yeah, it's never boring.
It's pretty good.
And that's why you have to love Guardiola above Mourinho. Mourinho may be almost or equally as successful, but Guardiola always has his teams playing interesting attacking football. And he can change the way he puts his tactics across these players. Like, he plays different football here at Munich than he did at Barcelona. Mourinho always tries to do the same thing.
And the way it goes.
And he also tries to do the dodgy dark arts of the game as well. So Guardiola over Mourinho for me every day of the week.
Well, why are we still talking about Mourinho? They're out. They're done. Yeah, finished. Chelsea, over. Yeah.
Because you're wearing a Mourinho t-shirt.
What? No, it's not true. Not true, listeners.
Other results in the Bundesliga. You have, of course, Wolfsburg in second. They struggling. Freiburg, a 3-0 win, so no problems there. But also Bayer Leverkusen, also another emphatic win, 4-0 against Stuttgart.
Can we just talk about Kevin De Bruyne for a minute? Because this is a player who's, I believe he's got more assists than Fabregas has this season. He scores goals. I think he's got two yesterday. Absolutely fantastic. Chelsea have let him go. They've bought him. They've not even played him, not given him a chance. They've let him go for a nice little bit of money. But, you know, he's gone there. He's been an absolute revelation. He's still young. What is he, 23, 24? He's got one hell of a future in front of him. And if he's playing like this now, I think it's only a matter of time before he moves on.
And it's a wee bit the same with Schürrle. Absolutely with De Bruyne. He's done much better since he left. But Schürrle, you know, was very good for Germany in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And Chelsea have got rid of both of those guys who would be fitting in perfectly now. You know, if we do admit that they're a bit tired, their front three, we're talking about Hazard not being forced to produce every single week, they're the guys who could have taken up some of the slack, you know.
So similarly, you look at Salah at Fiorentina.
He's
playing really well there. And Cuadrado came on yesterday off the bench.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
It looks so poor, especially when they're trying to get their attacks going. Yeah. It always seemed to break down whenever he had the ball, and they either lost it or kicked it out or did something ridiculous with it. So,
is it just a case of getting minutes on the pitch for these players?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's a Mourinho type of player. Maybe he.
Well, no, I think he wouldn't.
You don't like.
I mean, Schürrle should be exactly the Mourinho type of player. That really hard working, and De Bruyne, to be fair, that really hard working attacking midfielder should be perfect for Mourinho, and he started with Schürrle at the start of the season. But I think he wouldn't have played them anyway had they stayed.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have given them a chance. You look at Remy, Loic Remy did brilliantly last year, should be getting much more game time. Costa's been injured. Remy gets maybe 5-10 minutes. How he got 15 minutes yesterday or something to try and save a game.
But isn't it a thing that German players don't always take to England?
Is it?
Oh, there's a big shout. Clinton.
Michael Ballack.
He was alright. He did well at Chelsea.
You thought he did well?
Yeah.
I think he picked up a couple of trophies.
Exactly.
Mertesacker's doing pretty well at Arsenal. Jens Lehmann, you mentioned earlier, he did alright.
I take that back.
Klinsmann did very well.
Right. If any Germans are offended.
Focusing on Bayer Leverkusen.
Don't offend the Germans. They'll invade your garden.
Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it.
Too soon?
Bayer Leverkusen face Atletico Madrid Wednesday morning at 3:45. That's going to be an interesting one. Atletico playing at home. Do they still have a chance?
You'd
certainly have them as favourites in this game. Before the first leg, you'd have them as favourites, and you'd still have them. Leverkusen, they did very well to win their home leg, but you still have Atletico as your favourite to go through.
Totally agree. Atletico for me at home any day.
I'm surprised you're not picking Norwich to go through.
Well, if they were playing, then you know.
But the home form for Atletico Madrid, no bearing on their Champions League tie?
No. I think, like you say, the Leverkusen match that they played at home the first leg, I thought Leverkusen did well to get the goal, but I thought Atletico had enough chances. They had enough possession of the ball to really get it. It just didn't fall for them. You'd expect at home with the quality that they have to see it out. Yeah, I don't rate Leverkusen really.
And obviously, you missed out the biggest league in Europe,
Scottish again. What did Cowden tell us?
Yeah, but first of all, more importantly, this week's Cowden Beath update. they were beaten by Hibs 2-0 away at home. So the only team they've taken points off in the last 2 months
Rangers.
Has been the new Rangers. But at the same time, was the Scottish League Cup final that. Celtic won, beat Dundee United in the final 2-0, sets up the potential treble for Celtic.
Can we talk about Scott Brown a little bit?
Yeah, he was man of the match.
Was he? I don't think he was.
He was man of the match, yeah.
He was.
No, he really was.
It was Johnson was man of the match.
I'm concerned this is Stuart Cavan's version of the Scottish Premier League.
But anyway, let's talk about Scott Brown and
Scott Brown, he was eating kebabs last Wednesday. He was photographed by someone slumped on the pavement eating kebabs, having had one or two alcoholic drinks.
Isn't that called an extra training session in...
Well, not with the new manager, Ronnie Dyla. He makes a big deal about 24-hour athletes. So he's not... Well, he...
Apparently, his night was done by 10:30, so that's all right. Met the curfew.
Yeah, sure. We've all been there.
All right, gents. I think that pretty much close to wraps it up. Just a quick reminder for folks who participated in the contest at the top of the program. We're giving 4 tickets away to the VIP reception for the Football is Great exhibition. The question we asked was, which player has received the most yellow cards for simulation in BPL over the last 2 seasons? Before I announce the answer, of course, is there any surprise that it's Adnan Yanezai?
Who?
I knew that.
Oh, Zing. Young little player.
I would have said it would have been Young or Hazard. But
Now he's received more cards for simulation than he has scored goals.
Yeah. And referees are now just a bit more attentive to simulation now than ever.
I think now with the media pointing it out, and obviously with the pundits, everyone pointing it out a little bit more, it's in the spotlight a lot more. I think they're a little bit more aware with certain players. I think that was certainly the case with Ashley Young, with Yanezai, and to be fair, I think every Yanezai booking has been valid. He's a diver. There's no two ways about it.
And actually, young.
But I think really I also think like there are a couple like Zabaleta over the weekend. You know, got a yellow card for a simulation when there was nowhere. It was nowhere close to diving. You know, there was actually contact made. So I think, you know, depending on your luck on the day, yeah. But I think referees are just a little bit more aware of it. And
you sure Zabaleta didn't take that booking for the team because they were simulating a football team? simulating a title chance.
The winners to the VIP reception for the Football is Great exhibition goes out to Jonathan Lim and Imran Javed. Congratulations.
Well done. Honestly, I can't believe they'd know that. Would that be on Google? How would you find that out?
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Martin Tyler. He'd probably give
I'm
stats
impressed
somewhere.
By that, I have to say. I would never have thought that.
We'll be contacting you very, very shortly.
And, by the way, come and say hello to me on Thursday because I'll be there.
All right. There you go. Our thanks to our guest, Stuart Cavins.
He's begging for fans now.
I want to pick their brains. They might be able to help me prepare for this show.
Craig Marias.
Thank you very much.
And Cam Ruslan.
Thank you.
That was Life's a Pitch. Stay tuned for the news right here on BFM 89.9.
Life's a Pitch on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.